Good morning and welcome to Inside Edge with me, Brian Thomas, and my co-host, Lakit Pieris, as we travel around both India and Sri Lanka, because remember, the T20 World Cup, the multi-tournament, has got underway. So we go into the southern part of India in Chennai, go up north to Mumbai and come down again to the R. Premadasa Stadium. And joining us on our podcast today is none other than our rugby expert in Shane Dulaver. Right, the Group D is what you call the death group because New Zealand, Afghanistan and South Africa are in this group. So win here is very important. I'll tell you the reason why during the podcast. Anyway, New Zealand got the better of Afghanistan in the first game that was played at 10 o'clock in the morning at Chennai. They managed to win by 5 wickets, and at the Wankhede Stadium, England was given a bit of a shocker. Managed to just scrape through by 4 runs against Nepal. So Nepal looks very strong as an associate member. And Sri Lanka at the R. Premadasa Stadium, one thought, were very lucky to beat the Irish by 20 runs. And Ireland are the ones who made an ash of the given situation or the advantage. But I'll come back to that in detail. Now for the details in the first game, Afghanistan versus New Zealand. The Afghans, winning the toss, decide to bat first, and rightly so. They made 182 for the loss of 6 wickets. Rahmatullah Gubras, 27. Gulbuddin Nair, what a wonderful 63 in 35 deliveries, 3 boundaries and 4 massive sixes. Sadiqullah Atal, 29. The bowling, Loki Ferguson, 2 for 40. Jacob Duffy, 1 for 30. And Matt Henry, 1 for 27. Now, the target for the Kiwis was 183. But remember, Kiwis have been in India for long periods of time, so they know the conditions. But the problem was, can they face the quality spin of Afghanistan? They lost 2 wickets in the very first over that Mujib Rahman bowled, the second over. So 2 wickets in the power play and back to back, mind you. And that was a little bit of a shocker of a start for Kiwis. But Kiwis got to the target, ultimately winning comprehensively with almost 1.5 overs to spare. So they get themselves on the points table, beating Afghanistan by 5 wickets, 183 for 5. Tim Swiffert was superb, 65 runs, 42 deliveries, 7 boundaries, 3 huge sixes. Glenn Phillips made 42, Mark Chapman 28, and Daryl Mitchell 25 in 14 deliveries. Now then, a lot of questions were asked as to why Daryl Mitchell is batting low down the order, because then the experts explained to all of us that he is a player who doesn't panic and who's smart. And mind you, at one stage, New Zealand, in pursuit of this target of 183, were 2 wickets for 14 runs. But the 74-run partnership between Tim Seifert and Glenn Phillips made the difference. So well played, New Zealand. They got points on the table and they were very impressive. They looked very competitive in this tournament. Let's go up north to Wankhede Stadium in Mumbai and you're in for a surprise. Mind you, Nepal won the toss, put the English into bat. I'm not trying to say they struggled because they scored 184 for 7. But they lost top batters. A top batter, basically, like Josh Butler, pretty early. And that caused problems. Jacob Bettle, superb 56 in 35 deliveries, 4 massive sixes, 4 beautiful boundaries, strike rate of 152.94. He looked good. Harry Brooke made 53 in 32 deliveries, 3 massive sixes, 4 big boundaries, strike rate of 165.63. But I'll tell you, the star of the English innings was Will Jacks. He's 39 not out in 18 deliveries with 4 massive sixes and 1 boundary made the difference at the end of the day. And remember that the well-trimmed unit of Nepal unfortunately leaked 45 runs in the last 3 overs, and that cost them the game, I thought. Nevertheless, Dipender Singh, 2 for 23, Nathan Yardeev, 2 for 25, and Lamachini, the wonderful leg spinner, I'll tell you what, he can play for any team in the world. one for 25. Now, the target set was 185. And I'll tell you what, England was saved by the bell, because the Nepalese batters came out with a sterling performance. Dipendra Singh, 44 in 29 deliveries, strike rate 151.72. Captain Rohit Powdal, 39, and Lokesh Barmi, 39. And Lokesh Barmi, 39 in 20 deliveries, 4 boundaries, 2 massive sixes. And look at the strike rate, 195. So Nepal are here to play, not to compete. England managed to scrape through by 4 runs period. Liam Dawson, 2 for 21. Let's go down to the R. Premadasa Stadium. It was a real struggle for Sri Lanka. It has been proved far beyond doubt the Sri Lankans are struggling against spin. And mind you, the Irish don't have great spinners, you know, who turned the ball square. And Sri Lankans were simply undone because the Irish were smart bowling, taking the pace off the ball, and the Sri Lankans just couldn't muster. They were struggling. They were struggling to find boundaries until Kamin Dumendis came and made a world of difference. Let's look at the scorecard. Right, Sri Lanka made 163 for the loss of 6 wickets. Kushal Mendis, 56 not out. Well played, Kushal. And Kamin Dumendis, 44 off 19 deliveries, 4 boundaries and 2 sixes. And he looked a player who's batting on a different surface. Pathum Nissanka, 24. But all credit must go to the Irish. They controlled the innings. I mean, up until the 16th over, Sri Lanka was on the back foot, but they went on to leak 66 runs in the last 4 overs. Dropped catchers, appalling ground fielding, that cost them the game. And Sri Lanka got to a winning target of 163 for 6 wickets at the R. Premadasa Stadium. The pitch looks pretty slow. It's not coming onto the bat. It's holding up a little bit. And run making was difficult. But Matthew Hayden from the comm box said that this is 170 wicket. But Sri Lanka batters look a little bit jaded, or are they rusty? But one thing we know, that they are struggling against spin. The Irish looked good. I mean, they were on course, but there again, at the back end, they started losing wickets. I mean, they were just falling like a card of pack that just falls off your hands. Ultimately bowled out for 143 in 19.5 overs. Harry Tector was impressive with 40, Ross Adair, 34, and Logan Tucker, 21. For Sri Lanka, Myles Thikshana, 3 for 23, Wanindu Hasaranga, 3 for 25, bowling just on one foot, Pathirana, 2 for 26. Now then, the bad news for Sri Lanka, let me tell you straight away, is the injury to Hasaranga. I mean, he's very injury prone, we all know it, and he's gone and ruptured his hamstring. He was bowling on one foot and he took 3 wickets for 25. That turned the game around. But nevertheless, I think Sri Lanka is in for a hard time. It all depends. We don't have any reports now from the medical team about Hasaranga's hamstring injury. Let's hope that he will recover. Otherwise, according to what I heard in the comm box yesterday, he might not be available for the rest of the series. So Sri Lanka will have to look for another leg spinner, but we'll keep our eyes open. So Sri Lanka winning ultimately by 20 runs. It's not that Sri Lanka were far superior. It's just that the Irish made an ash of things, especially in the back end of overs. Their fielding was far below par, and their batting at the end, after being 95 runs for the loss of 2 wickets, 105 runs for the loss of 2 wickets in 14.2 overs, ultimately got themselves bowled for 143. Right, let's have a look at some of the games coming up today. Very interesting. Scotland will play against the Italians, Zimbabwe against Oman, South Africa against Canada. But I can tell you, the games are getting interesting because the associate members are giving a tough time to the established teams. Right, now let's join Shane Dullava. CRFC beat CHNFC by 26 points to 14. And I think CH will be very, very disappointed at their performance yesterday. In the Rugby Sevens at Perth, HSBC, remember I told you about the semi-finals? Fiji beat New Zealand 35 points to no score. That's a big, big margin. South Africa beat Australia 28 points to 12. Now then, the women's finals, New Zealand ladies beat Australia and became champions 29 points to 7. And in the men's finals, South Africa beat Fiji by 29 points to 21. So thank you, Shane Dullaver, for those updates. We thank you as well for joining us on our podcast this morning. I know it's been quite a long podcast, and that's what you can expect during the month of February and early March. That's because of the World Cup that is underway, the T20 World Cup multi-tournament being conducted by the International Cricket Council. That's it from me and Lakith Peris. Sit back, relax, get your headsets on as I spin you a record for your listening pleasure.